The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for tuning in.
You and your tuning in and broadcasting.
It's easier for me to say when I'm next to you. This is because it feels like we're in some,
a studio.
In my head, it's like some local, low budget.
Well, we should have gone into the closet.
Radio like station school, where it's like two times. People being like, anybody out there, give us a call.
Call
1-800. Request a song. it's just really funny to hear you do the intro while I'm looking
right
at
next
you.
To you.
Yeah.
I know it's funny to have you
in my head. I'm
do it.
Doing it with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're here face to face again. We never know the order
we
that these are going to.
We don't know when this is going to release.
But
so
we have recorded several episodes in this.
We've been very
capacity in the last 48 hours.
What's the word? We've been very efficient
mm-hmm.
here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. We were getting shit done.
That we didn't get lost really at all.
Yeah.
Like every time we put in directions, we're like, oh, and we follow the phone.
Yeah.
But usually I have to add like 10 minutes to any trip because I know
stuff.
I'm going to get lost. And
yeah. And it helps that you're co-piloting.
Yes.
While I drive the big minivan.
Yes.
Went to the big minivan.
So
fancy. I didn't get the convertible Mustang. I got the minivan.
Yes. And we've used it.
Because we have a group of girls with us.
Yeah. We've used it. So our guest today, well, Michelle's going to read the blurb.
I'm going to read her bio.
We've kind of talked about this idea of being a connector, which I can circle back to, but we heard of Kathy Thomas, photographer, from a friend of ours who Michelle and I have both been connected with
mm-hmm.
separately and then together through the podcast.
And
she was a guest on the podcast.
I think she was our first guest.
She was. Remember
she?
We asked her, like, what are some of your favorite podcasts? We had like questions because we didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, what TV shows do you watch? And I could tell she was like, this is going to be boring.
Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she has the Equality Institute, and she, I was certified as a gay wedding, certified wedding professional and planner mm-hmm. back in 2010 with mm-hmm. her or 11. And then I'd re-upped with her when she came to Dallas when it had just been legalized across the country. And so it was like, we have to learn now different things in the wedding industry because more people are going to be getting married. And I was so happy to be like, I'm kind of an expert in this because I've done this with Bernadette and really passionate about all that. And so she
connected us.
Yeah, she found out. I posted something like, I'm going to Nashville. Who knows awesome people that we can talk to on the podcast?
Yeah.
And she messaged us like right away because she does pride herself on connecting people.
Yes.
Like, here's her email, here's her message. And she said, you have to hook up with Kathy Thomas. There was an affiliation with her, with the Equality Institute, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And she's like, she's a photographer. You're going to love her. So that's what I did.
Yes.
And here's her blurb.
Here is her bio, blurb, whatever. Kathy Thomas Photography began 5.5 years ago after Kathy moved from New York City to Orlando. She has been named one of the top three photographers in Nashville and only wedding photographer by Nashville Scene, while also having been nominated twice for Rangefinder Magazine 30 Rising Stars of Wedding Photography worldwide 2 years in a row. Kathy's photography is influenced by 17 years in luxury fashion retail. She brings her love for fashion, beauty, architecture, and the art of craftsmanship into her wedding style. Her goal is to never be trendy. That's a good goal. Yet timeless, modern, stylish, and romantic. You're very romantic.
Well,
you're welcome. Kathy also mentors a number of wedding professionals and believes in building others up. And when we all win, that is the real success of this industry. That is so true. Kathy Thomas, welcome.
Thank you.
To the pod.
The pod. I feel like I'm in a pod.
So Kathy came into our
circle trust.
Kathy came into our Airbnb and walked into a bunch of lazy girls there, hungover girls in the living room, friends who tagged along this trip. And we're like, just leave them there. Let's go up to the bedroom. So she's here in the master suite of the Airbnb, being a trooper, sitting on the bed here.
I have views of Nashville, so it's kind of nice.
It's beautiful, the view. Yes. We have the best view from this Airbnb. If only it wasn't raining every single day we were here. But you know what it is? That's just the weather. That's what happens. So what brought you to Nashville?
I actually moved with my husband's job.
Ah.
Yes. Humbling experience.
So, yeah, because you're the entrepreneur, you yes. can move wherever his job is.
Yes.
But you had to build up a whole new business, like build it up here.
Yes, yes. I mean, and again, saying that like humbling experience 5 years into my career, and I've been blessed with a, you know, in my category or what I deem as a successful career, I wouldn't say I started over. But I'm definitely not a household name in the Tennessee market. Yeah. So there was definitely a lot of rebuilding and taking a lot of what I teach in my mentorships and putting it back into practice because right. so easy to fall out of it.
Now you have to live it.
Yeah.
What you're still doing and always were doing destination weddings that were never at your home base mm-hmm. in Florida or here. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of traveling and you're doing weddings all over the world. You just got here from Costa Rica, yes?
I did.
But what's,
a little tired.
What's the Nashville? Like, what did you learn quickly? Like, oh, this is Nashville. Okay, that's what a Nashville wedding looks like. Because we keep hearing that it's like the place to come.
Like number one destination, wedding destination.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is, very different than any other market. I think every market probably could say that. But, you know, in the Florida market, I work weddings Monday through Sunday. All the time.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. It's Florida. 7 days a week. 25,000 weddings a year in Central Florida.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So coming here, and I was like, oh, well, like, what are the venues that do the weekday weddings? And they're like, weekday weddings. Yeah. This is the South. We don't
That's
work
interesting,
a wedding during weekday.
Because we talk about a way to kind of save, if you're budgeting, is to have a wedding on a Sunday, for example, mm-hmm. or a Friday, or even mm-hmm. a Thursday. But since they're happening all week long in Florida, I wonder if you really do save money.
You do.
You do.
You do.
Okay.
So if you look at like some of my top venues that I'm preferred at, one in particular, which I'm there a good probably 50% of my weddings are at that one venue. Mm-hmm. The significance, the minimum food and beverage investment on a weekend is $30,000. Mm-hmm. The minimum is $14,000 for a weekday.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You more than half.
So, again, people are coming down from New York. It's a venue that is unlike anything else in Florida, or kind of unlike anything on the East Coast. And so they're traveling down because they want to look like they're in Italy. Mm-hmm. And it does. And, you're spending already half the food and beverage to be able to bring all your guests.
That's fantastic.
And everyone's coming down there and everyone's taking time off.
And they're going to Disney and Universal and it's wintertime somewhere else. So like when everyone in Nashville was like, woohoo, our slow season November, I was going into 10 events in 30 days and none of them in Nashville.
Wow.
So you have an office in Orlando.
I do.
And an office here and building an even bigger, more collaborative office here.
Yes.
Do you remember the first Nashville wedding you did?
I do.
Was it like...
She was Carrie Underwood's backup singer.
Oh, see? There
you
go.
Yeah. I do. And the connector, again, the groom's from Orlando. So he knew someone that knew me and connected us. And we met and it was a beautiful wedding. It was amazing. They were both on The Voice. He was on the first season of The Voice. She's on season 12.
Oh, they were both.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Yeah. And, you know, that was like an estate type of mm-hmm. wedding, so it was a little bit different, and it was definitely all family, but that was my first booked Nashville wedding, and then partnered up with a couple planners and quickly had started booking my next few weddings.
Okay.
That's when I really realized how different this market was from the market I was coming from or from the New York City market.
And that's really interesting, because when I came from doing weddings in San Francisco and the Bay Area, which really means within an hour of San Francisco, there's so much to shoot out there. There's so many different, there's mountains, there's redwoods, there's ocean, glamping, there's history. But the weddings I was doing were not more than 120 people most of the time. And the budgets were high, but dispersed among fewer guests, and the taste level, like the money that they were going to spend would go to, like, I've joked about this before, like fancy cheese or really excellent wine from a winery that their uncle's whatever owns half an hour away. Definitely not $25,000 on flowers that hang from the wall and these like over the top, border on ostentatious in my own opinion, that the South, it's, I quickly realized that Southern weddings, and I love like, I love traditional black tie weddings always.
Me too.
But it's almost like competitive wedding planning. Like your wedding a lot of times has to be bigger and better and more expensive than.
But the millennials too, you know, they're into the experiences, which I am too. Like I don't blame them one bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you do this once, you hope. Yeah. But you do it once, and we don't celebrate love the same way we used to. You know, it's just not out there in the world like that. So this is that one big kabam to get all your friends, your family together and really celebrate it in a big way. And I think with everything going on in our world, it's becoming more and more important. And so my couple specifically are, they care about the experience. They care about what the experience is like with my photography team. Mm-hmm. You know, but they really want to entertain their guests. So everything is, you know,
That idea
a little
like,
over the top.
I've never seen that before.
So whether it's venue, food, a mixology bar, entertainment that's coming in, my gay weddings, which I love, you know, they bring in tons of entertainment.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing. I will say you had touched on it though. Nashville introduced me to a few things I'd never witnessed was like the minimalistic wedding. Minimalistic usually isn't in my vocabulary. I'm working on it. And so like this whole thought of minimalistic styling, everything, still a very extravagant and lavish event, but very minimalistic in decor, design, floor presentation, but top planners, you know, top venues and the minimalistic design. That was something very new for me because my weddings tend to, you know, regardless of their budget, within their budget, they tend to go over the top within their budget.
For decor specifically.
Decor, linens, chargers, you know, they really want it. They want an awe factor.
Altar.
100%. You walk in and they want to leave an awe because they want people talking about their wedding. Right. They're doing it one time. They want their kids to remember what their wedding looks like through imagery. It's pretty cool. So here was that. But then there obviously is, you know, we have the Country Music Hall of Fame. We have Cheekwood, all these great, whether they're historical or just well-rooted, very authentic to Nashville venues.
Places where, that people that live here take pride in.
Yes.
Okay.
People who went to Vanderbilt or Belmont, you know, they come back here for their weddings. Mm-hmm. Even if they've moved away and they only went here for college. And at any age, they'll come back here to celebrate their wedding.
Wedding parties bigger than what you're used to?
The largest I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I love big wedding parties. It's like a joke. Yeah. Like when everyone else is like, I want to be an adventure photographer and climb a mountain. I'm like, I want a big wedding party in a
big
church. I
want 24.
Yeah.
So you like shooting them?
I do. I love it. I love the dynamic.
The getting ready. Yeah. All of that.
All
spend
of it.
Some time really like with that group of bridesmaids or groomsmen or the mix.
Yes. Oh, and I think I live vicariously through their weddings a little bit. I got married when I was 33 and I was in New York City and I was a director in retail and, you know, wedding was important in my life, I think. It definitely was not on the forefront of my mind, being a VP was. And so when I met my husband, that obviously put that course just a little bit different. And so, you know, I did Puerto Vallarta with 85 of my closest friends and family and got married on the beach and had just only my best friend stand beside me. It wasn't even questionable. So I think this is my, and I had a full plan. Like, I didn't do anything. I got to pick out their Louis Vuitton gift bags and that's it. You know, and then I showed up and, it was an amazing experience. So I think I had such an amazing experience at my wedding between my photographer, who I consider is one of the best in the world right now, and my planner, that I kind of knew when I walked out of that I would probably do something in the wedding industry down the road.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So that that planted the seed a little bit.
It definitely planted a seed. I don't know at what capacity, but the experience was so surreal. Like I shared it a lot when I was with Louis Vuitton. I would share it a ton in all my trainings and about like that host, like who's that best host that you're around. That, you know, some people are like, oh, it was my grandmother. And we talk about this in the store experience. And I think I bring that into my business a lot is like, think of the person who plans the best party in your life. And what are the three attributes that make them the best party planner? Implement them into your wedding.
It always goes back to how that person makes others feel.
And that's how it was with my wedding. So from my photographer to my planner. And so as I started establishing my business, I thought there was definitely elements that I would have done differently and I do them differently. But there's a lot I took away from that experience that I implemented into my business. And I think a lot of them come back to Nashville and there's more traditional weddings here. So going back to the Florida thing, Monday through Friday, my average wedding size in Orlando is probably about 120. Mm-hmm. My average wedding size here is about 250.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
With big wedding parties.
With big wedding parties. 10, 12 girls.
And a value and an importance placed on this idea of hosting, especially if they're coming home and asking people to come to their wedding in their hometown or in the town they went to college that they take pride in.
Like shuttles are booked. You know, they're doing everything. They're doing rehearsal dinners at restaurants that were important to them. Family, both families are really involved.
Yeah.
That's been really nice. It's not always the case in the Florida market, but here families are involved. There's a lot of heirloom tradition being played into the elements and design of the wedding, which are important as a photographer to know in advance. Mm-hmm. So I then can make sure I capture them.
Yes. We kind of heard that from the Chicago planner too, from Wedicity, about how people that get married in Chicago, Chicago pride is like, it's a big deal. They really care about their city and they want other people to go to the best restaurants and like this hole in the wall bar that you would just walk by. It's actually amazing.
100%.
And then their favors and their design and like maybe the way the invitations look all harken back to this idea of like, you're coming to my city and Chicago's an awesome city.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time there, but I've spent no time in Nashville until this weekend. And we're having the best time.
Yeah.
And I said to Michelle, I was like, everyone's so friendly, including like whoever we sit next to at the bar. They're not from Nashville either, but your environment influences you a little bit. Like I'm more likely to talk up somebody in a bar here because everyone seems kind of open to that than I am just going to a bar in Phoenix where I live now. You know, it's
absolutely
the Southern hospitality 100%. Is real.
I think you touched on it like 7 minutes ago, I think where we got started when you asked me about my first wedding here. And one thing I was nervous about, you know, I'm in all these photography groups on social media and they're talking about, oh, I moved markets and we just couldn't make it last. There was a team of photographers that came up from Orlando once and moved back from Nashville and said, you know, it was really tough to get my business going in Nashville. And I have to tell you, I've had the complete opposite experience. I mean, from planners to venues to caterers, just welcoming me with open arms. Mm. I mean, and arms that they give big, huge hugs. Like, and that's kind of like what you're saying for your experience here. Everyone, you know, I don't know if it's like the shiny new toy type of thing, but just really warm, welcoming, excited to learn about my business and, you know, do things together, like collaborate and, you know, put me in front of their clients. And it's been really amazing.
So has it been pretty easy then to connect with vendors that you love working with and then not only to connect with them, but then to influence or encourage clients that have hired you to also hire these awesome people? Like those connections were kind of hard for me to make when I first moved.
Well, and I was going to say easy. I don't know if I'd use that term. Okay. you know, for me, I'm originally from Wyoming. Like you never meet a stranger when you're from Wyoming. You know, I could probably talk to a wall if it talked back type of thing.
Huh.
So I don't want to use the word easy because I think that would really turn a lot of people off. There was effort. And it was very, I mean, it was strategic, so I don't want to mislead you, it wasn't. But again, going back to instead of easy, it was very welcoming. I mean, there was venues I walked in, I contacted, I said, hey, I want to come walk your venue just because I feel like I need to also be an expert at the level of where I'm at in my career. So if I don't know the capacity a venue could hold when a bride or a groom calls me and says, hey, this is where we're getting married, I don't want to go, oh, how many, you know, what's your guest count? And then say 400 and be like, oh, that's great. And then find out later that we're actually changing venues. This just happened recently because it doesn't accommodate 400 people.
Yeah.
You know, and just be knowledgeable. So I went and walked and toured. And I mean, two big venues here in town, I walked in and by the time we were done, they're like, we would love to put you on our list. And I was like,
wow, that's great.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. You know, usually it's like they've experienced your...
working with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And got the client feedback on the experience and everything. So I think a reputation comes with that a little bit. But so it's actually, and again, not saying easy. If I was here more often, I think I'd probably use the word easy. But there definitely is a strategic plan put in place. Because my time is still very limited here. In Orlando, I was like 50-50. So 50 destination, 50 local. Here... I'm like 92% destination.
Got it. Wow.
So, how do you, like, we're trying to always try to speak to a broad audience, all you guys out there who don't even live in America, but we love to talk to vendors, all for any kind of wedding vendor, about how you know on your end that you're going to be a good fit with a client in that first phone call or whatever, yes. because we talk about red flags. So to flip that and talk about the positive, like,
yes,
what do these people have in common when you're like, they are awesome, we are awesome together, we're going to be a great fit. Yeah. How do you know?
It's funny. So I hope this releases like well after this person's wedding that I may be doing. So, and the reason, like twice I will say that it's come back to bite me kind of in the butt that I thought, oh, this was not a good fit. Why did I take this on? And it ended up being one of my favorite couples. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, I have a pretty lengthy interview process. Like, I either want to meet with them in person or I want to have a good, like, hour-long conversation with them
and
on the phone.
It definitely feels like you're both interviewing each other.
And I tell them. Yes, I say, you know, this is your opportunity to talk to me, and this is my opportunity to talk to you. You know, this is your wedding day. And, I mean, I even break it down. I'm like, you know, if there's a bride in the wedding, like, I'm going to see you getting naked into your wedding gown. I'm going to see when your dad sees you for the first time and those tears and that real emotion. Mm-hmm. I tell my clients often, the imagery they see that I show, I cannot achieve if they're not the right client for me.
Right. Because there has to be trust.
There has to be a trust. They have to let me in a little bit. You know, I have to be able to kind of foresee what's going to happen and take place, because I've talked to the mom. I've talked to the fiance. So, you know, in that process, you know, I could give examples of, you know, I look at body language when I sit with them. You know, if a couple doesn't really touch each other in the hour they're with me, they're probably not my couple.
That's so interesting.
You know? I've had couples where like they've walked out of my office, have called me and they're like, we're going to meet with two other people, but you know, we really liked you. And I'm like, really consider those other people, you know, and it's a really hard thing to do. But again, if they want what they see based off my imagery, I can't produce that if there's not like some kind of connection between us or them.
Yeah.
So I just really emphasize that. Plus, you know, I spend that hour, they see my work. They're going to, mm-hmm. you know, I'm 98% referral. So I'm coming from someone who has worked with me or was one of my clients. And so if it's the Ritz-Carlton, if it's the Waldorf, they will be able to speak in length of like how I work. When I deliver my imagery, if there's ever been any hiccups, like they can speak to that mm-hmm. in length. So my opportunity when I'm in front of them is I want to get to know them. Like I want to know how they got engaged. I want to know what their family dynamic is like. And sometimes we all know there's some crazy ass dynamic out there in families. I have that family. And, you know, so I want to know that because I want to take all that pressure off them on the day of their wedding, and it all falls on the hired photographer, right? Like if yeah. I put the wrong person in the photo because it was actually pre-planned, it falls on the photographer, not on them. And it never needs to be that way. So they have to let me in.
Yeah. We tell, know? I mean, I tell my clients, but we tell our listeners too all the time. You have to vibe with your photographer. You don't yes. have to love your cake baker. You should love their work. The yeah. price should
your
be
linen
right.
people.
They're responsible.
Yeah.
But your photographer cannot annoy rental? You yeah. or just be like, I don't know what it is about her. She just, like, then find somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I tell people all the time.
It has to be an ease.
I'm not for everyone. And I will say that. If they're like, well, you know, if your pricing's not right, I'm not for everyone. If it's, I'm not right, I'm not for everyone. And I had such a great experience. I would never want to take that away from someone. So there's someone out there for you.
Let's talk about pricing. And you don't have to yes. give your pricing, but do you have your pricing like on your website, or do you give it right away? If somebody just emails you and says, I just want to know I don't want to waste your time. Cause a lot of people, we talk about this a lot. It's very controversial mm-hmm. between people getting married, planning their weddings, and wedding professionals. Some wedding professionals do not want to talk about pricing up front. And if you want to talk about it, then you're not their client. Mm-hmm. Some like, I used to have my pricing right up front on my website. Some people do, some people don't. Some photographers do. What is your theory?
I think I have maybe like a starting price, and it's
great.
It's like a rough price. I would say it's probably a little bit on the lower side because, again, coming from a Florida market,
it's
someone
a smaller,
brings me for a four-hour wedding on a yeah, Monday or Tuesday. It's not far off. So it's not like, it's not saying I start at two, and when you're done, you're spending eight.
Got it.
You know, so no. So, okay, here's the thing. When I go somewhere, I mean, this kind of probably comes from my retail background. Like, I want to know what the price of things are. I'm a budget conscious person.
Yeah.
I plan my life a little bit in advance. And so I can respect that. I will say if I get an inquiry and I see them come through other channels versus my website or just my direct email that say, what's your price and are you available? We track this. It's pretty slim. We're booking them.
Right. Yeah.
Because my client goes back to this again, traditionally wants me to be at their wedding.
Yeah.
or wants to know how they can afford to have me at their wedding. Mm. So I can respect that, to be honest. Yeah. You know, my photographer was my biggest investment in my wedding. Mm-hmm. And I had no clue. I spent 4 times the amount I had planned on spending. And I thought I was spending a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think some people just aren't educated. Right. And that's okay. I mean, I wouldn't have been either. You know, I had no idea that like half my weddings do $13,000 to $17,000 in floral budgets. Hmm. No idea until I start asking.
Would you say, then just going as far as educating people who have no idea what things cost, would you say photographers more or less are a percentage, should be a certain percentage of someone's overall wedding budget? Or would you say it depends? I know what I would say, but
how much specific?
Yeah, that's funny. I'm curious to know what you'd say. So I think there used to be like, I don't know, maybe The Knot or someone, Martha Stewart, released something that said, you know, your photography should be 10% of your budget. So if you're having a $50,000 wedding, you're spending $5,000 on photography. I think, again, we don't live in a world where people want to be put in a little box. Mm-hmm. And I've never been one to put in a box. You know, whatever weighs heavier and more valuable to me, I'm going to spend more money on. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a service or actual practical, like tangible item. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's kind of out the door. I will say, based off of like how we track and what I mentor to, my pricing usually based off a client, I can tell if I'm in their budget based off of what they're spending on their venue. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if their venue is less than my 8-hour collection, even if they want me, sometimes I'm probably not getting hired. But if their venue is their, you know, their event fee to their venue, not their food and beverage, that would be beautiful. Their event fee usually is pretty equivalent. If not, their event fee is a little bit more than mine.
Meaning the room rental.
The room rental.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would say that is probably a really great gauge.
That's a really good indicator
for you then.
Yeah, I like that for 100%. A rule of thumb. I can see how that.
And I, for myself, if I'm doing a month of, which mm-hmm. is like really comprehensive, more like a 6-week, but anytime anybody's like questioned me about my quote for that, I always go back to the DJ. Like, how much are you paying your DJ? He has equipment. He has insurance. He had, you know, all the stuff mm-hmm. that he had to purchase. Let's accept that. But that guy's showing up for 6 hours and he's going to do a great job for 6 hours. And then he's going to be like, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, like, my work starts after the wedding.
I'm working with you yes. so much before. Yes. I'm following up with you afterwards. Like, the DJ should, for me, always, for month of at least, should be a benchmark of like, you're going to be paying me more than the DJ. Let's be real.
They should be paying you twice what they're paying the DJ.
That's exactly right. Yes. In most cases, it's
and
twice.
So that is the case. I will say majority of my weddings have full plan to their planning. Mm-hmm. I would say the planner and I get paid around the same. Mm-hmm. Total investment out the door. For sometimes it's planning. If they're adding investment, boudoir sessions, mm-hmm. Whatever else may add up, it's usually pretty equivalent for full plan.
How important to you is doing the engagement session ahead of time?
That's actually a great way to put it. You know, here's what it allows me to do. It allows me time to see how people are going to react in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. So that way I can make adjustments on the day of the wedding. The nice thing, the day of the wedding, you have more props. You have bouquets and there's gowns and there's cufflinks and there's people to hold on to. You know, there's other things, objects, I think. But it allows me to see how people engage and interact, and it allows them to get comfortable with me. I always like to start to sit down, have just a drink with them, because it's tough. And anyone that says it's not,
yeah,
you know, I get photographed and I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. So it allows me that. Do I think it's necessary? No. But then I think there needs to be a little bit more communication up front prior to the wedding day.
Right. So you prefer some FaceTime, whether it's an engagement session or getting a meeting for a cocktail, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I travel all over the world. So like there's usually not a time where I can't. I mean, I was just in New York City for Bridal Fashion Week. The morning I landed, a planner and I ran into each other on the street. And she was like, I'm meeting a bride today. You have to meet her right after my meeting. Why did I not think of you? It's like New York Botanical Gardens. So I was like, well, I'll meet you back in the lobby of the hotel. We met face to face. Now we're going to meet up again in New York in the spring. We're probably not going to fit in the engagement session just based off of her schedule, but we're getting some FaceTime.
Yeah. You should just bring your camera and be like, click.
Yeah. There you go.
Comfortable.
That's funny.
It's not just like that how the couple acts, but it's also how you direct. Because we have gotten a lot of questions, a good amount, enough that we notice, like, oh, we've gotten the same question a couple of times. I don't know if we want to pay, if it's $300 less if we don't pay for the engagement session in a package.
Yeah.
But they're also... we've gotten emails where they say like, you know, at my engagement session, it was kind of awkward how the photographer kept telling my fiance to like, look at me. It was a lot of like the man gazing at the woman while the woman looked at the camera. And she was like, that made me feel like that's how she's going to shoot the wedding.
Ask her this question. Because her question to sorry, but that's exactly what I was thinking is, I want to know what Kathy says about this. Her question to us was, she's like, she's pretty feminist and she loves this photographer and they get along so well. And she has like this kind of strange connection from childhood. Mm-hmm. She's like, so we did our engagement session and I was like really disappointed because all of the photos were...
They were like this.
Like, no, they were like,
you guys have to see this right now.
The photographer is focusing on her, and he's like in the background staring at,
like he's an afterthought.
At his bride. Like, and that's the majority. And she's like, I don't want it to be all about me. She's like, so what do you think I should do? Like, do you think that, what do I do? Do I talk to this photographer? I don't want to like offend her. But at the same time, like, I don't want this kind of photography at my wedding. She was like shocked
she
of these
photos. As much of him as of her.
Yeah, like, she just needs to tell them. That's I will tell you, it's like a working interview. It's like that was her working interview and it's time to give the feedback. Because I'll tell you this now, I do a lot of weddings where the bride's family is very involved in the photo planning process.
The bride's family.
So do you see what I'm saying? Because they're in a traditional setting, which is where these days they're paying and they're making the investment. And, you know, they have a very heavy request list, you know. And so I make sure in that dynamic, when it starts tipping that way, I'm like, hey, can I get the groom's number? Can I get, you know, mother-in-law's number? And I'll call them and say, you know, what kind of request do you have? Because even if they're not making the financial investment, they are definitely making the emotional investment. Mm. And so I think it's not fair. I share it with them. And then at that point, you know, if they say, you know, some photographers are like, you're hiring my style, this is what you get. I kind of see myself more as like, I'm the tool to get your emotion, your day, the way you still want to see it and remember it. So get it on the photographer. So you know, if someone didn't have a good experience with me, I'd be like, get another 100%. Again, because you're doing this once.
Yeah, you're like,
there's no remake.
Let me give you, let me just charge you for the engagement session. Here's your deposit, or whatever it is. Like, we're not a good fit.
Or talk to your planner. Talk to your planner and say, hey, can you share this with them? And maybe there's a relationship there, or if there's not, there should be.
Yes.
And they can say, hey, you know, they had some of this feedback for me. Do you feel you can make the adjustment? Because I feel like they're going to have a more transparent conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so too, because it's not as emotional. It's pro to pro. Hey, I'm just... don't kill the messenger.
If your client's really passive and they are like, oh, even just having that conversation makes their hair stand
up. She was
back
nervous. She didn't want to offend the photographer, but she wasn't talking about her artistic ability at all. She was talking about actual time spent. Like, if you're going to do half an hour with me in my suite getting ready, I want you to do a half an hour in his room ready.
And that's just setting clear expectations. And You've hired someone. Yeah, you went hire someone to come out and build your house, and you're like, I don't care where the door is at. Or they are like, here's where the door is. And you're like, I don't want the door to go there. You tell them.
Yeah.
Yes.
You tell them, and if they say, don't tell me where to put that door, you say, I'm going to hire somebody
I'm going to show you where to put that door.
You wrapped it up, Michelle, in when we answered her, which we did say, please talk, be open, be forthcoming, like, be communicative. But you said, if the photographer like bristles at that or isn't receptive or doesn't understand, maybe you need to hire somebody else. So you did say that because it is one day and you're going to get those pictures, and that's... Let's say 3 months later, you get those pictures and it's like, oh my God, they're all of me. It's over.
I get it a lot when couples, like I've done a lot of newlywed sessions of weddings I didn't shoot. And it's where they hired a photographer, or, you know, a photographer's a friend is doing it for $1,000, $2,000, the cost of travel. My mom has a friend who's an up and coming photographer, you know, and they're like, oh, this is a great option. But then here they are having 30, 50, 60, 80, 90, $100,000 weddings. And then they're like, my photos, like there was no planning Yeah. And they're like, so we didn't get any newlywed photos because they spent all the time with the wedding party and we ran out of the 50 minutes after, you know, during cocktail hour.
Yeah.
So we're hiring you because we need photos of us.
I want to ask you also, what I'm thinking about is what the kind of questions that we get from our listeners.
Yeah.
And
so we talk about photography a lot. We talk about working with a photographer, hiring the right photographer, and making sure that your timeline as a planner has been run by the photographer, because oftentimes you guys, the photographers, have to be the ones to run the timeline, which doesn't make it that easy. So we talk a lot about, through the whole process, communicating. Yeah.
That's probably where questions. I'm a little alpha. I'm a little alpha in that process. So when my clients book me, the next thing we do is their timeline.
Okay, can I please, I need to talk to you about this.
And I have new planners here in Nashville that are adjusting to my planning process.
I have photographers that have done that. And I get it why you do this. Mm-hmm. However, when we meet and we create their wedding day schedule, I do mine a month before the wedding. I do not do it. For purposes right now, if I'm planning in advance, I will do a super quick, like, what time is sunset? What time is golden hour? Let's have the ceremony at this time so that we can get you at the if you like golden hour shots, most photographers want a golden hour shot, that it's like after you've eaten dinner or like at a time where the guests are not going to miss that you're there, right? But I've had this one photographer, for example, in Boston, created this. She's like, you're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this.
No.
And had like this whole timeline. And I was like, guys, they loved her. They love their photographer. And I was so happy they loved her. But I had to gently be like, okay, this is great that you guys have done this so far, but I don't agree with some of these things. And so we changed it. We changed a lot.
Absolutely.
So I was kind of like, I don't know. As a planner who's responsible for creating that timeline, and this photographer I don't think worked with a lot of planners, it's hard for me. Because
that would be extremely hard.
It's really hard. When you create a timeline, what is it? What are you creating? What's in your timeline?
Their priorities. So that's exactly, you know what? They might have the tiniest family there. Like a planner's probably not going to know that early out when they're booking their first vendors. So I will say, you know, again, go back to the type of weddings I shoot though. Big wedding parties, usually in a church, ballrooms, big estate type, like, you know, your Cheekwoods here in Nashville or Bella Clina in Florida. So there's dynamic of like time, downtime, moving people around, shuffling large numbers of people.
You would know that's like how long it takes to walk from that room over there with 12 people.
I'm on a lot of golf carts.
Got it.
You know, I have to move a wedding party of 24 on golf carts. I know what it's going to take and where they want their shots. So I help just build it realistic up front because here, like you said about the golden hour, I don't care about the golden hour.
You don't care about golden hour. Okay.
I mean, you can see, you know, I was in Costa Rica just this week and most of my shots were done at night.
Okay.
You know, they didn't want to see each other before the
wedding. That's a good photographer.
And that's fine.
Because that's
out.
Hard for photographers to do is nighttime shots.
Yeah, it's very.
Because I'm like, how are they going to do it? There's no light. This is very.
Well, I mean,
impressive.
And I even say that to like when people are asking me and they're like, well, you know, I looked everywhere and I love this person's style, but they say all over the website, natural light photographer, but they're having a church wedding and they're having a ballroom reception. And I said, just ask them for a full gallery. Mm-hmm. Like that's ask them for a full gallery. So if their imagery, if they can hold indoors as strong as they hold outdoors in sunlight, find out, you know, look and evaluate that. I do share a lot of full galleries in that situation too.
Let's go back to that timeline that you're creating. What's on that timeline?
So ceremony time.
Yeah.
Which usually that early out needs to then be adjusted because again, what they don't know is what they don't know.
Right.
So I want to go off a sunset and if they're doing a first look or not. And I have to tell you, I'm not big pro first look.
You're not. See, she's so
you
traditional.
You might be the first photographer.
It's not even about being traditional. This is where it goes back into. It's harsh lighting. Like, they're booking me because of that golden hour light or that
like
twilight.
Nighttime.
And they're like, oh, I want to do first look at 1 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, so let's find a place where the sun's not going to be beaming into your eyes because I want you guys to see each other. My clients that do first look, we only do first look. It is not a photo op. It is a first look opportunity for photos. So we push it right up to before ceremony and everything like that. We will then bring family, do family photos then, and then I do the newlywed after
all
the
afterwards. It's not a full 30 minutes
so it's not
just alone
a full
with them.
Family wedding party, we do that first, and then we just have time with a couple afterwards.
But you're saying you bring the family just to experience their first look?
No, no family photos.
They do pictures. She just doesn't do then
the
half an hour also with just the couple.
Oh, it's like literally like, oh, you saw each other. Click, click, click. That's
yeah, like
it.
I want to get the emotion of that.
Yeah, like
and still deliver them imagery that they hired me for, which is going to happen after ceremony.
Okay,
got it. Which
so
is also
it's
a little more relaxed after the ceremony
well,
too.
Clients,
I feel
a lot
like
of my clients don't like to be rushed, so when I say I'm going to plan your timeline. It might be a teetering factor, and then we're like, oh, great, because then they know that I'm involved. So what I do is we do ceremony time, getting ready, start talking to your hair and makeup team. You need to be ready at this time. The bride never goes last in my world because I've missed first looks with dads. I've missed first looks with fiancés because they need to have their hair redone 3 different times, and there was 12 girls that went before them, and they were saved for last. Don't even get me started. Or they don't want to be in getting ready photos because they are sitting there no makeup and no hair. So we talk about those hard lines, like hair and makeup needs to be ready at this time. This also helps them determine what package that they're getting invested in.
Well, and that's the main reason.
What time ceremony?
They want to know how many hours they need you.
Yep. How much photography? If you are coming in and you have a huge Italian family and we're going to take 30 minutes of just family photos, I'm going to encourage a first look. You know, so that's why we do the timeline. And then that timeline doesn't just go to them. It goes straight to their planner. And then the planner holds on to it, sends it back to me with any of the adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And I go off the planner's timeline.
Okay, good. I don't think anybody should book a photographer for less than 8 hours, personally. I don't like when they do 6 hours.
I don't. They I mean, always, I do that maybe once a year.
What, 6 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not enough time.
Yeah.
It's not enough time. Okay. Another thing a lot of listeners ask us about, and this doesn't have to do with photography specifically, mm-hmm. but it happens in every family, is a family member passes away.
Mm-hmm.
Horribly, oftentimes it's a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not too far away from the wedding, or it's just somebody mm-hmm. that they wished who was at the wedding. And so we always get asked, give me some ideas, some things you've seen to honor my dad who passed away. It's that hard question. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just put an empty place setting, you know, or I don't want to just put a photo.
Yeah. Or even sometimes they say, I don't just want a remembrance table. What other mm-hmm. ideas do you have? And we have our ideas, but have you seen anything?
It's always the same thing. And yeah. I just don't, and not to put on you might not have anything, but have you seen anything unique?
I have. I mean, I've definitely seen things unique. Again, sometimes it's been planned. So I've actually had 3 weddings where like they knew. You know, in advance, there was time for planning, and there's been a letter that was pre-written. Mm. Whew, let me tell you.
Oh, God.
Man, I'm a mess at those weddings. A mess.
Yeah.
I love that, though. Or I love when the parent that's still there gets up and speaks on their behalf, wherever it be. I think that's more impactful. And I think it is, I mean, it's an emotional day already, so I think it's something that really drives home that person should be there and presence is felt. That I have definitely seen the roses. I've seen the remembrance tables. I will say the letters probably, I've had it happen 3 times.
Wow.
My favorite. Shit. And if it wasn't the letter from the actual person, it was something that someone wrote and then reads about like their feelings and or relationship either during ceremony or reception.
Yeah. That's great.
And just what you said about their presence is felt.
Mm-hmm.
So we've told brides and grooms before too about if there's a favorite song or favorite cake or yes. whatever that this person really loved, that it doesn't necessarily always have to be like announced to everybody. This was my dad's favorite song, but like you hear it playing and that idea that like their energy is felt there, maybe only by a handful of people that knew that person really well.
Well, and I love like they hold their rings. Like I get that a lot. They hold their rings on them, either in the bouquet or it's implemented somewhere in the design element.
And these are the kind of elements that you need to know about ahead of time yes. so that you make sure to shoot them because it might not be pointed out a lot.
I have a pretty lengthy questionnaire that goes out 2 months before the wedding that helps me not miss those moments. And I think that, again, is why my clients will refer me out. They're like, I didn't even tell her about that, but they did because there's stuff that says, you know, anywhere from, is there any heirlooms that are going to play a role in your wedding that I need to be made aware of? So I know to document them because sometimes the heirloom goes back to whoever it belongs to, you know, but they want to still know it played a role in their wedding. You know, my favorite one is there any dynamics in your family? That's my favorite one to always read. And that helps me also manage people throughout the day. You know, some are like, I want my mother-in-law there, but sometimes she can be extremely overbearing and on top of me because, you know, she doesn't have a daughter. She has an only son, whatever the dynamic may be, but she stresses me out. And, you know, we give her lots of like little to-dos. You know, my assistant is like, hey, do you know where the rings are? And do you know where, you know, and just keep them busy and
nice.
Let's go over to your son's room and
nice.
That kind of thing. That helps us. And then we also have one that says, is there anyone that's going to be inappropriate or distracting during the wedding? Cause like everyone tends to have like the friend that's going to get
or
shirtless
the raging
and like
alcoholic uncle.
Always, always, always ask you for your yeah. camera cause they want to take a photo with
bro
it.
Bro yeah. groomsman.
Well, because
like
sometimes we might think it's funny. Like if all of a sudden the guy takes off his shirt and is sliding across the dance floor, but they're like, this is at every single event. Please don't photograph it. It lets us know not to make that our focus.
That happened in a wedding I did a few months ago. All of a sudden I look over the groom and like 4 of his guys just pull their shirts off.
Oh, I love it.
And are like, it was, bizarre. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was funny. And I was like, and the photographer looked at me and I'm like, are you gonna take pictures of that? She's like, I'm going to. So you would know. She's like,
I would know.
I'll take it. But you would have known.
I would know.
I had this and this groom in a million years, Kathy, I never would have expected.
Oh, it's
to
always
do that.
Those. It's always those ones. That's
when, like, I was
always those ones.
Yeah.
Always.
And she, and then the bride told, I'm like, what is, she's like, no, it's a college thing. They used to do this in college. Yes. I'm like, why didn't you guys tell me about this?
I love that stuff.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Second shooter, important or not important?
Depends.
On?
You know, a lot of times we'll always ask size.
First explain what a second shooter is for those who don't know.
Oh, okay. So a second shooter should be someone who is at equivalent skill set as your photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. First of all, if you're going to make the investment, make sure you're investing in someone who has a equivalent skill set.
But they're going to be from your staff, so.
Yes. Well, yeah, but that's not usually the case. I am very, 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 very blessed that I've had the same team for my entire career.
Mm.
But
some others might have.
No, it's usually a posting on Facebook that's like, hey, I have a wedding on this date. Who can shoot with me?
Oh,
and they might not know the second
photographer.
This is a good I would say majority of the time, it is this.
This is a good thing to ask your photographer.
I think it's safe. I could put that out there even to everyone I mentor.
Like, who is a second shooter. Yep. Who is it? Or can I see some of the galleries that you've shot with them?
Yes, exactly.
Because sometimes, I mean, I've done weddings in the Bay Area when it's just inundated. So many photographers there. But where the second shooter on that event was sometimes more expensive, I knew, than what, I mean, but they're friends. And she was like, oh, I just happened to not have a wedding today. And, you know, they assist for each other from a friend. Like, oh, I do her a favor and then she does me a favor. But where the assistant charged maybe $10,000 for the day, but I knew my clients were only paying the first photographer $8,000. Mm. And it's like, well, they're kind of getting, their second shooter is awesome. Like, they're getting this 2-for-1. Mm-hmm. How great. Mm-hmm. But I don't ever think that I should ask my clients, like, make sure the second shooter. Well, I do say, make sure the second shooter is not just like an assistant who is usually just somebody who carries bags, but is going to be trying out the camera this time. Like,
yeah.
I don't think
if they're making the investment, I agree. If they're not, if someone my second photographer is included in a number of my packages because I went off of like an odds thing. Most people ask for a second photographer.
Yeah.
So I built it in there and it's built in so I can pay them and I can pay them a good wage. You know, they're not just carrying bags for the day. I do have an assistant though, and that's at majority of my weddings. Which allows me to keep my focus 100% on my couples and not have to be like, where do I put my bag down? What lens do I need?
Very much like what our assistants do.
Yes, carry, relocate my equipment, set stuff up. And so I would say that's a very, very valid question. You know, do they know each other? Have they worked together? And again, with that said, some couples may not care. You know, they just want a second perspective during ceremony, someone to be with the guys because they're at a different hotel getting ready, something of that dynamic. I think then you're kind of taking what's coming your way and you trust this photographer is going to give you someone good.
That's what I feel the representation second shooter is best for.
It's a representation of them.
Yeah.
I liked higher up with my second shooter. And my second shooters that work with me traditionally are not. I have one that is not a wedding photographer. He's actually a high fashion photographer. So he's available on the weekends, but we've been working together for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The other two run their own photography businesses, but will reserve a date
for you.
For me.
Yeah. I definitely think somebody else shooting at least for the ceremony. And sometimes my clients will say, we only paid for this first package and that's only her. And I'll say, why don't we see how much it costs to have somebody else for an hour?
Because it's an insurance. I think that's what it is.
It's insurance. Yeah.
Let's be honest. It's insurance. It's like an insurance.
Those two reactions.
It's like when you're buying a plane ticket and at the end of it, it says, do you want protection for your flight or not? Mm. And based off of how much you spend on that, you know, okay, I'm booking Hawaii for $1,800 a year out. Am I going to put protection on my flight or not? It's protection. You know, there still is a lot of lead photographers who shoot with one camera.
Mm.
Blows my mind. Or their second camera is not the equivalence of their first camera. I think that's also wages into like the investment. How much you're investing in a photographer might determine that a little bit. And so again, it's insurance. You know, you have a photographer show up with one camera. Cards go corrupt. They drop a camera. It defaults. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have an insurance.
So would you say that's an okay? That would be a good question for couples to ask when they're interviewing photographers. How many cameras do you bring with you to the wedding?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely.
I love that question. Yep, that's good. Not one that I've thought of.
I was shooting on a street in Orlando, sunset photo, amazing. Went to grab my camera, thought it was hooked to my strap, threw it on the ground, smashed, and my assistant immediately was like down on the floor picking up another camera, handing it right to me. And I was like, pick that up. And I was like, the card inside's good. Like, that's not the question.
Right.
The card's good.
The camera's good. The card is intact.
Yeah. But you know, and we didn't skip a beat. You know, they were like, and I was like, no, we got this. Like, move on. Like, I just left it there. I act like nothing happened because you're not getting that time back.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say when you're looking at spending, you know, $2,500, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 upwards on photographer, they should have two cameras.
Oh God, yes. That's the cost of a camera.
You would think.
Okay, let me ask about, because you've worked all over the world, what are your favorite venues have in common? You don't have to name like what the favorite venues are, but like what floats your boat when someone says, this is where we're getting married, and you're like, yes.
The way they treat their vendors. Hmm. Number one.
Okay. I was hoping you were gonna say that.
I will tell you, there's a place in Orlando. I mean, I'd love to give them a shout out, but I'll just say there's a place in Orlando.
You can shout them out.
Waldorf. The Waldorf Astoria in Orlando. They treat their vendors like gold. And I will tell my clients when they're like, oh, I'm getting married at the Waldorf. You're on their list. You know, how should I feel about this, this, and this? I'm like, I will tell you now, if they treat you half as good as they treat me, you're going to have an exceptional experience. Mm-hmm. There's other venues too. Bella Kalina, again, an amazing experience for the clients. So I would say it's really the way they're treating their vendors. If they treat their vendors like their clients, because we're almost their first client.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. If they treat us like a client, they're going to really rock the socks off of your clients.
This is what baffles me by any wedding professional or venue that does not treat other wedding professionals well.
Oh, yeah, and it happens.
Their clients that they're working with, they're going to hire them this one time, maybe twice if they get married again. Maybe they'll refer them to a family member. Maybe not. Especially a venue, no. But we
will never refer you again.
We'll never refer you again because you're an asshole and what is your problem?
Nothing is worse.
Threw us like a sandwich and a box lunch and called it dinner.
Charge clients $35.
Yes. Like that sucks.
I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, you want fed Kathy.
Yeah. You do not want hangry Kathy.
You don't want hangry Kathy. And I mean, it's on my contract. It says I need a hot meal.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm not real picky about what the hot meal is, but it better be a hot meal.
Yeah.
100% that's it. I mean, I'll tell you that right now. And then, I mean, there's ones that, like, I will tell you, if they have a planning staff that is on their referral program that is very well-versed in their venue, that can make decisions, because I shoot in a lot of rainy markets. Mm. And nothing is worse when it's, what do you think? Should we pull it? Should we pull it inside? Don't ask me that. Like, my bride or my groom or my brides or my grooms have only been dreaming about an outdoor wedding, and you're asking me if I, you know... Here's my deal. If I said I want an outdoor wedding, a little rain is not going to dampen my attitude and I'm going to get married outside.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's everyone. So that is the worst, I will tell you. And it does happen to me a lot. What do you think we should do? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not moving your chairs.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a discussion that I have not had. You know, I'm prepared. Usually I look at them and I said, I'm prepared to shoot indoors. You need me to shoot indoors? They'll have a beautiful newlywed session indoors, as beautiful as they would have outdoors. So you just tell me we're ready. And I think that has something to do with, you know, a lot of the questions you're asking too, because I just want to be sensitive to this. You know, some clients' investment in photography specifically might only be $1,500, $200, or $2,000, $3,000. I think at that point, sometimes you have to make an adjustment on what you're expecting out of your photography.
Yes.
So
yes.
So with everything I'm saying, just to all your listeners out there, I don't want you guys to think I'm just this raging asshole, because I'm not. Like, I understand, like, budgets vary, and they should. You know, no two people are having the same wedding. So make any of my suggestions, kind of take it with a grain of salt onto what you plan to invest in your photographer, and then give them a little bit of lenience, because, like, I started out too.
Yeah.
And when I started out $3,200. And you know, at $3,200, my camera bodies did not match. You know, like I had a crawl before I walked too.
Might not have had an assistant.
Yeah. Now we have five camera bodies on us, you know, and 10 lenses and umbrellas and ponchos. You know, we're prepared. We have bridal kits. We're prepared because my clients expect me to be prepared.
And they're paying.
Yeah. There's no like oops that can go on. So again, adjust that, just because I don't want people to think that it's just one way. It's not.
And we appreciate you saying that, because there are people of all budgets listening.
100%.
Who might have...
And I have clients of all budgets. Sometimes I'm their biggest investment. I can walk onto someone's wedding and know that I am their biggest investment.
Yes. And which goes back to
I'm like, wow, what an honor. Yeah. Holy cow. Like, you know, you found it in your budget to have me here. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'm like, and there is times I don't even get to meet the client. Like the planner's booked me. I have a non-disclosure agreement. I'm flying halfway across the country. I show up, I meet them right there and face to face. I'm a little shocked sometimes by who they are. Uh-huh. And then it's like, shoot, go. And you know, they just want photos.
Can we talk a little bit about that actually? Mm-hmm. Cause did I see on your Instagram you shot John Legend?
I did last weekend.
For so the babies?
Florida Hospital does a annual gala that raises money, mm-hmm. On a big scale, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I've been honored to shoot anyone from Kristen Chenoweth to Catherine McVie, Rascal Flatts, Josh Groban last year, and this year, John Legend.
Nice. Mm-hmm. How about celebrity weddings?
I have done some, but they're like, I would say celebrities in their own realm. So got in it. Like sports.
Yeah.
And I've done two, which I would deem like celebrity weddings, mm-hmm. Non-disclosures.
You can't say?
Mm-mm.
So you can't even put the photos out?
No.
That sucks.
You know what? It doesn't. Like, you know what? Photographers ask this a lot. You know, clients will say, well, we don't want our photos out there. And I see it in the online forums. And they're like, I can't believe this. They need to buy my copyrights. It goes back to this. Like, you've invested in me. They're your photos.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
When you see your work, though, maybe in a magazine or on mm-hmm. a celebrity.
Oh, that sucks.
Then it's not always credited, right?
Sucks.
Yeah.
But it sucks. It's part of the game. You know, I've shot lead for some big companies, which I think it's a respect because it was pretty early on in my career that they would bring me on to like be the face of their company. And I'm talking about these are companies that start at $15,000, $20,000 a photographer. Mm. I'm nowhere near that, by the way, people. And, you know, I've seen it published in big publications and I'm like,
that's mine.
You know, I did it for them because I appreciate the job, that they trusted me. Right. You know, they trusted me to do it. I was available. They weren't type of thing. I do a lot, you know, like in golf, the golf world, in basketball, in a lot of family sessions, a lot of that. We photographed Martha Stewart at a big luncheon that she hosts every year. Last year, we're back there again this January. Those images. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things like, do you want to like be discredited by not sharing them or get more referrals?
Right. I want
to do it at all to not have your name next to it on exactly. the magazine.
I want to make sure, was there anything that you wanted to talk about specifically that we haven't covered? Because we're nearing an hour and I want to make sure that you get what you want to talk about too.
I'll look at it. I think the biggest thing, you guys are touching on a lot of great things. I think, you know, when you're hiring your photography, I think the first thing is, where is that importance for you?
That goes back to what we were saying earlier about the pricing, right? That there's not just a box, 10% of your wedding budget.
No.
This comes back to, even if you have a lower budget, but photography is freaking amazing. Like, it's the most important fucking thing ever. You might spend, you know, $10,000 on a photographer and, you know, have, you know, order pizza for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's why those budget spreadsheets that we talk about all the time, and go back to the budget episode we did very early on. It's nice to see that percentage breakdown in one of those columns, because if you change the number, well, like I'll say, okay, you really want the photographer. She's $9,000, but you guys have both told me you love her. So let's put that in. And then where can we take that out? You have to sacrifice somewhere else.
Yes.
For that.
I mean, I will tell you now, because I'm 98% referral. So 2% left is organic, kind of happens to find me through a hashtag. I have traveled all over the world off of Instagram. All my destination weddings have been off of Instagram.
That's awesome.
So I definitely have that 2%. Knowing your vendors and your venues and having a relationship and sharing your pricing with them, like when they get to me, there's no surprises. Mm. You know, my planner will call me and say, they love your work. Their budget's between $5,000 and $8,000. So without saying my price, like that's pretty safe.
Range.
Bracket. Yeah. And so, yes. And so I then can say, you know, what's important to you? Is an album important to you? I think that's something to touch on. We design 80% of our clients' albums.
You do.
So a lot of people are like, oh, albums are dead. They're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not. I mean, right now, if your computer crashes, there goes things, you know?
Yeah.
So having your vendors and stuff, I think that's really important. I think something that we do that's unique, and I can speak to if there is photographers that listen to your podcast, perhaps.
Yes, there are.
Or others that are planning destination weddings. And destination weddings is one of two things. That either means it's a destination for your photographer, so you're getting married in your hometown, but you're bringing your photographer in, or you are taking everyone to a destination.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always mean it needs a passport.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what their best practices is for securing your images.
What do you mean?
1 year remote.
What? So that to ensure that that SD card is not going to get ruined, that they're backing up here, they're putting them here, they're putting them there. Fine. So ask them, how do you protect those images?
Yes. Okay. Yes, because I'll tell
specifically
you
specifically on a destination wedding.
I would say on any wedding.
Yeah.
But you know, I have clients that will call, you know, potential clients that will say, well, you're like $400 more than this person I'm looking at, or $500 more. And they're like, why? And I was like, well, I can't speak to their lifestyle or why they place their pricing. I can tell you why we're priced what we are. And you know what? For 30 minutes of your reception, my assistant will be back in the green room backing up all of your images on site. Mm. We will not leave a wedding without those images being in two places.
Where do you put them?
We back up to our hard drive. We start loading our cloud.
An external hard drive?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And the cloud?
And yep, we do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with my so seconds.
Like the it's like a box with like
She's like, we can't be both in the same car.
Yeah, it totally is. You know, when I worked for Lucky Brand Jeans, they went and fly two executives on the same flight for obvious reasons.
Jenny used to work for Lucky.
Oh,
downstairs.
We'll have to talk to her about it. Yeah. I think it's really important, you know, because it happens, you guys. It happens. It could happen to me. It could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have anything to do with the type of business someone runs, but knowing how they're going to secure their images. And then that night when we get home, we start putting it on a cloud. So it's internal, external. And the next morning, my clients get an email that says, hey, by the way, like, had a great time. I mean, we might say we didn't if we didn't. No.
Had a really shitty time,
had
however.
A really horrible time, but your images are secured. But we let them know your images are secured here, here, and here. We'll keep you updated on the process between now and when we're ready to deliver.
Huh.
That's great advice.
Then they also don't call the planners and are like, where's my photos? Mm-hmm. Where's my photos? You referred that vendor. Where's my photos? They know.
They know. Yeah. So it's not just hiring somebody whose photos you really love on Instagram and who seems really cool. There are logistical, meaningful, professionally based questions that you should be asking your photographer and that you shouldn't feel shy about and that they should have answers for and not like bristle at that. Like,
Your planner and your photographer you're going to spend the most time with.
Yes.
You got to like them.
And your planner. Yeah.
Yeah. Planner and your photographer. I mean, you're going to spend the most time with them.
These are really good questions.
And at the end of the wedding, like, our job then begins.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right, Ashley. That's right.
Yep, album designing, editing, you know.
Excellent. Anything else that you wanted to get out?
No. I mean, I think this is great. I think that more of these type of podcasts, I think, are great for clients to tune into because, you don't know. Like, I would, you know, I've had people call me and they're like, I love your work and my budget is this. And I'll never, and you said back to, like, do I have my pricing on my website and do I give it out right away? Sometimes people just need to be educated. I've had clients call me and they're like, I have a $700 budget. And they end up investing $7,000 in me.
Wow.
Because they just did not know.
Yeah.
I was that person. I thought I was going to spend $2,000 on my wedding photographer in Mexico for 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, wedding gowns. That's, you know, another shocker usually. Florist. A lot of florists I know have a minimum spend of $5,000. And it's very easy to get there.
You should hear the ones in San Francisco.
Yeah, it is easy to get there, but you have to... not gently or carefully, but what am I trying? Like politely, I guess, explain to someone when they call, like $700 is not going to cut it. And these are the reasons why there is.
I mean,
spectrum.
They can't even be insured.
There are. Yeah. It varies what people charge, but it's not going to be that low.
Yeah.
All very good advice, Kathy. I love this. This is so awesome. I'm so glad you were able to come over.
I know,
and
me too.
Sit on the floor.
Sorry, I had to make
us.
Changes with my flight in Costa Rica being grounded with a broken tire.
It happens when you get a flat tire on
an airplane. I don't want to be on it anyways. I'm like the first person. I'm like, get me off the broken plane. I'll stay
broken
here.
Plane.
Where's the bar?
It's okay.
Yeah.
we'll be sharing pictures, everyone. So as you listen, check out our Instagram, and then we'll link to all of Kathy's media. But drop the social media now, and then I'll also list it out.
Absolutely. So it's Kathy Thomas Photo, Kathy with a K, Kathy Thomas Photo on Instagram, and Kathy Thomas Photography on Facebook. We definitely do some albums, you know, processing there and stuff. So
awesome. Thank you so very much.
Thank you guys
much.
For having me, and thanks to everyone for listening. Hope I didn't swear too much. I was trying to control.
Oh, honey, listen, we swear like truck drivers on this show.
We were actually pretty tame
today.
Thank you. And thank you for being here. So if you are listening and you love us, maybe you want to support us, you can hit us up on patreon.com. We are everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Hashtag plan that wedding. Email us if you have any questions, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And you can call and leave us a voice message for a You Ask, We Answer episode. That phone number is
415-723-1625. Call us.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Happy planning. Bye-bye.